the little like flosser tool.
Yeah. Yeah. They're little mini floss units. I don't know. What you call them?
Floss units.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, though.
Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved. We're here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Chris Roby, and over across my screen is Carly Duke.
Hello. I'm waving, hey. If you can't.
Yes, she is. Yes. And as you've noticed, we have started these on video, too, so you can see us. And so hopefully that helps you connect better with this podcast. Carly, you have a little boy. I've got two boys and a daughter, too, I guess. But really, the boys, they kind of stink. Mm-hmm. my boys are athletes. And even at a young age, the smell thing, the hygiene thing has really been a big part of our conversation around our house. But how do we take care of our bodies and present ourselves to the world, right?
How do you make sure you have friends?
Yeah, make sure you have friends, or when their friends come over and really stink, having those conversations about we don't want to do that kind of thing. But hygiene is a big topic, especially when it comes to teenagers. And I think that's something important to talk about today.
Yeah, so I had a conversation with my five-year-old recently where he was asking about deodorant. And I was like, you're too young. But I had the thought, I was like, but when does that start? Because I don't want him to be the smelly kid that you're like, oh, now we for sure have to start deodorant because he stinks. And so it just got me thinking about, I'm not there yet. But for teenagers, hygiene is a thing. Because for a while, like the age that my kids are at, I remind them about everything. I remind them to brush their teeth. I remind them to take baths. I'm in charge of their hygiene. By the time you hit middle school and for sure, hopefully high school, they should be doing that on their own. But we still have to, I don't know, hold them accountable, teach them the skills to make sure that they are taking care of themselves, because you don't want them showing up to school smelly and that weird stinky kid.
Yeah. And I think what's important to establish before we go much further is this, to me, at least this conversation is kind of in the same realm of sexuality, pornography, that are maybe harder conversations to have because you don't want to bring shame in the conversation, right?
Totally.
And so I know for me, if someone tells me, hey, your breath stinks or you smell weird, like that's really sensitive, right? That's like you feel bad because you obviously don't want to and you didn't realize it. But having that conversation just in the realm of best practice of being a person, right? Or society, you know, this is the way we show up really matters, because people need to have the best version of ourselves. And so just having those, you know, as we talk through these, making sure this conversation is draped over, you know, being practical or but not, hey, you stink, you need to go take a shower kind of thing.
Yeah, I love that. I love that idea that if you can have this conversation on the front end instead of being reactive, there's not going to be probably as much like personal angst maybe attached. That if you can say like, hey, let's just talk about hygiene in general, that you're not doing anything wrong, but make sure we're on the same page compared to like you're saying, Chris, of like, hey, you stink and we need to fix it. And that conversation might not be as fun.
Well, and every kid's different too. I mean, just to kind of people about the curtain on our family life, you know, my two boys, I've got a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old. And my 8-year-old's, he's just physically a bigger kid than most kids. Mm-hmm. And so he gets sweatier, you know, and we realized, I mean, just even when he was, you know, 6 or 7, that he just got a little funk to him when he is out. And so we've had to have that conversation with him earlier than we had planned. But now, I mean, he wears deodorant. He, you know, takes extra time in the shower, those kinds of things. And we're trying to have that conversation to not make him feel bad about it. But we had to start really early. And so every kid's different on that kind of stuff with, you know, maybe just how they smell or whatever. And that's okay. Just making sure that shame is not introduced into that conversation.
Yeah. So to kind of get into these, first of all, let's talk about teeth. So we all know brushing your teeth twice a day is kind of the norm, flossing. And what I wanted to bring up with this one is I feel like there are a lot of tools that maybe I didn't have when I was younger. It's like electric toothbrushes are an easy way to do this for teenagers. And you can find, I'll actually link some like on Amazon that are honestly pretty well priced, and they have the 2-minute timer on them. And so it'll tell you when you've done your 2 minutes and it'll shut off. And that's a good way to remind teenagers to make sure they're doing it the right way. Those like, oh, what are they called, Chris? Like the little like flosser tool.
Yeah. Yeah. They're little mini floss units. I don't know. What you call them?
Floss units.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about though.
Like, I know. Yeah. And I'm sure our listener does too. And they're slamming their fist on their dash as they're like, what it is. But I know it's not floss unit, guys. I'm sorry.
Yes. But those are an easy thing to throw in a bag and they can do that on the go. They don't have to get like the long string out. So that's an easy one. Now, when it comes to showering, what I did want to point out for this, Chris, is as you said, kids are different. And honestly, sometimes boys and girls are different. Some advice I gave to one of my brothers when they got married is, because he loves to be clean and he showers probably multiple times a day. And I was like, that's not necessarily the norm for girls, especially if they're not like working out or getting sweaty, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But showering regularly and making sure that that's part of your routine, washing or cleaning your hair too. But like I said, that's different. I feel like if you're in athletics and you're working out regularly and you're in sports, and definitely you need to be showering more often. But if that's not your jam and you're not getting sweaty, you probably don't need to wash your hair every day, especially if you're a girl. You probably don't know this, Chris, because you don't have as much hair as me. But the more girls shower, the more oil gets in their hair, and then the more you have to shower. It's this weird cycle. And mm-hmm. So look into how can you take care of your hair. And obviously, different hair types and ethnicities, that changes too.
Absolutely.
And so make sure that you're looking into, like, for your daughter or son's hair type, that let's like look into what are the best products and what is something that we can do to keep it as healthy as possible. Now, shaving, Chris, I can talk about like shaving your legs, but when it comes to faces, that's more of a guy thing, hopefully. So.
Yeah. And if advice? You, and especially I, you know, if you are a dad listening to this, you know, teaching your son to shave is kind of a rite of passage thing. I remember mm-hmm. when my dad did. And I mean, very specific stuff about that. So I think there's some ritualization we can talk about with this as well, being able to pass down, hey, this is how you shave kind of thing, you know, and not, you know, cut your face and that kind of stuff. So, you know, there are opportunities for connection in this, which is what this podcast is all about, right? And so I don't know if this is the same for girls, but for guys, it's definitely a ritual.
I remember the first time my mom taught me how to shave my legs.
Mm-hmm.
I remember mm-hmm. that was kind of a big deal. And I remember her saying, once you start, you can't stop. Like, are mm-hmm. you sure you want to do this? But I know, and probably for boys, maybe in the same way or different ways, there is some peer pressure that comes along with that mm-hmm. of if everyone else is shaving and you're not, then I look different or I'm doing something different. And mm-hmm. so, like I said, have these conversations earlier about what are your friends doing? What do you feel comfortable with? Because they don't have to do it just because their friends are, but helping their self-esteem in that too. Now, face washing, this is one, I don't know if he'll listen to this podcast or not, but like as an adult, I'm still trying to get my husband to do, because washing his face is just not a thing. Mm-hmm. But it is a vital part of your hygiene routine. And especially if you have daughters who are starting to wear makeup, talking to them about washing makeup off, using toners, like there's so many different products, moisturizing, all of that stuff. But taking care of your face is a big one.
Yeah, I can see boys not being nearly as interested in this. And I know for my kids, I'm like, you washed your face a while.
Behind the ears.
Yeah. all that stuff. Yeah.
I feel like the boy go-to sometimes is like the 3-in-1 where you just use one thing for everything.
And yeah.
That's just where you go.
I mean, you're just trying to break time records, trying to get in out of that shower as fast as you can. And so the 3-in-1, 5, 6-in-1, whatever you can do just to get it all knocked out as fast mm-hmm. as you can.
Now, I'm going to make Chris really uncomfortable with this one, but and I won't talk much about this, but if you have a teen daughter talking about menstruation and making sure mm-hmm. that they're using those feminine products properly, that they know when to change them and all that stuff, that might be a separate podcast of just girls that we talk about more details of that. But if you're listening, make sure you're having that conversation with your girls, because there's a lot of stuff that can go wrong with that, and also stuff that you need to make sure that they're taking care of themselves in that way as well. Now, this is one that we've talked a lot about since COVID, but washing hands is a big deal.
Yeah. And that's watches that people have now, like, you know, there's a lot of tools to remind you, you know, how long to wash your hands. But it's really making that a big part of your routine, you know, coming out of the bathroom or before you eat or any of those kind of things. Just regular hand washing just keeps kids healthy for mm-hmm. nothing else.
Yeah. And then going on with your hands, trying to get teens to avoid biting their nails or their cuticles. Sometimes that's an anxiety kind of habit that takes place with their hands. But it's not great. That can also, along with washing hands, think about how many things you touch. And then if you're putting them in your mouth, mm-hmm. that can lead to sickness and other things too. So watching that as well.
Wearing deodorant is huge, especially for boys. You know, I've never had this issue, but I do know that there is more light being shined on the content of deodorant. There's different natural options. And so, you know, if they're having some kind of reaction to whatever they're using, to make sure to keep that conversation open, because otherwise, if they're getting rashes or uncomfortable, they might not wear it at all. You don't want yeah. that either. And then finally, wearing clean underwear and socks is
it sounds huge. Basic, Chris. It sounds basic, but you might have to make sure you have that conversation.
Well, I think especially, you know, my preteen, he is, you know, he's not thinking clearly in the morning when he's up and around. And so just, you know, he's at the bare, you know, get some food, watch some baseball, whatever, and not thinking about those little things. And that's what this is, with hygiene, is the little things that when you show up. And you just feel better when you have clean underwear and socks on anyways. So,
because you are listening to this podcast, we can assume a couple of things. One, that you have great taste. And two, that you care about teenagers. That is why we are so excited to introduce you to our sponsor, Lubbock Christian University. Whether you or your teen are interested in furthering your education in youth ministry, LCU is the perfect place to start. Contact our friend David Fraze to find out more about LCU and life in ministry to young people at david.fraze@lcu.edu. And don't forget, go Chaps!
Now, for the tip this week, I want to talk. Oh, sorry, I said tip. For the trend, we're on trend still. For the trend this week, I want to talk about sexting. Now, this is not a new trend by any means, but I think it's still a conversation worth having, because I did some research into stats. And what's really hard is I could not find anything really credible after the year of 2018, which was quite a while ago. Mm-hmm. And so my guess is that these numbers have changed. But sexting, to give you the definition, is the sharing of sexually explicit images, videos, or messages through electronic means. So it could be through your phone, it could be over DMs. Instant Messenger was a thing when I was in high school, but maybe not anymore. But I found a JAMA pediatric study from 2018 that said among teenagers, 1 in 7 sexed. Man, I'm going to get this messed up the whole time. Hang with me. While 1 in 4 teenagers receive them. And wow. So, but an even more concerning stat said that 1 in 8, or like 12.5% of youth reporting, said that they have forwarded a sext. So that's like non-consensual sexting, meaning I sent it to one person, but ended up going to other people because they shared it, which is kind of a scary stat. And what's interesting is the stats have gotten way worse since the previous studies were done. And they've also found that like the older teenagers are, the more that they sext. And the article that I read kind of said they think it's because the older you are, probably the more access you have to a smartphone. Years before, smartphones weren't really a thing, so it wasn't as easy to send pictures or videos. I also think FaceTime is a way that this happens because, and then it's not recorded and it's not on someone's phone after they hang up. But I think that this is a conversation we need to be having because teenagers are doing it.
Right. And it's been suggested that female youth and young adults might be more likely to sext because of perceived pressure. From males to send nudes. But the study didn't find a difference necessarily in gender. So that relational pressure is there for females a lot of times more than males. And that does make sense.
Yeah. I gave some stats so you can kind of see what's happening. But as always, we want to talk about what you can do and how you can connect with your teenager over this topic. And so, first of all, you need to be talking to your teens about sexting. And you might be thinking it's too early. They have no idea what that is. And that's just honestly probably not the case. If they haven't done it, they probably have friends who have or who have talked about it. And so it's a conversation you need to be having.
I think also too, you know, even if you don't feel like this is an issue yet, if you have a younger teenager, I think having the conversation just about non-consensual photo sharing in general is really, we actually had this conversation in our house over the weekend. It was very innocent, but, you know, a video that was taken at our house was shared with some friends. And we asked, did you ask if that was okay with that person or okay with us? And, you know, no one was in trouble. No, it was no big deal. But to start thinking about whenever I share a photo or video of someone, you know, sexual or not, do I have their permission to do that?
Yeah.
And what could be done with that? And so build your muscles up on those kind of conversations before you know, if you're not quite ready to dive into this, there's other ways you can have the conversations based upon, you know, those principles.
I love that. That's a great idea, Chris. And that's honestly just where you need to be having the conversation too, that if you put something out there, as Chris was saying, whether it's sexual or not, there is a possibility that it could be shared and it could end up somewhere you didn't intend for it to end up. And so just talking about the dangers, especially if you're sending personal photos and photos that you would not want shared with a lot of people, have that conversation with your student and make sure that they're safe. I know when I was in high school, there were some girls that would send something or a picture to one boy, and then the next day they'd show up at school and every boy in the grade had seen it because they passed the phone around and they shared it. And that is not a place that you want to be in as a teenager or as a parent. That is not something you want for your kid, for them to like show up at school and feel blindsided because something that they thought was being shared in private with a trusted source got taken advantage of. And so I think having that conversation even about the dangers about it. And then also having, it's okay to have that conversation ahead of time of if you're talking about sexting, ask them, how would you say no if someone texted you that or if someone asked you for something? And go ahead and role play that out a little bit. Give them tools of how I can say no, because I think a lot of times, I'll speak for girls, it might be the same for boys too, but if a boy you like asks for something that you don't want to do, but you feel like if I don't, he won't talk to me anymore, that pressure could make you do things that otherwise you might not do. And to get a little personal, when I was in high school, there was a boy that I met one time. And so there wasn't a lot of personal connection there for the pressure, but he said something of like, hey, why don't you send me a couple of things? And I was like, yeah, no, not doing that. And he kind of laughed. And I was like, if you don't bring it up ever again, I will pretend like this conversation never happened, but I'm not sending you anything. So don't ask anymore. And what's funny is he respected me for that. And we ended up remaining friends for probably 4 more years. but he never asked again. Like, he never asked for pictures again. He didn't give me a hard time. We never brought it up in our friendship ever again, because I told him, like, don't ask me and we'll forget about it. And so I feel like having the conversation of, in some cases, that's a relationship you don't want to continue, but is there in some cases also a way to preserve that relationship while also not, like, kind of giving in to the boundaries that you've decided on?
Yeah. And I think that's a great, example of how to handle something like that. But, you know, encouraging your kids or the teenagers in your life to be clear about their boundaries. And, you know, a lot of this conversation is around boundaries, right? About, you know, what kind of healthy boundaries are you setting for yourself? What you can say yes or no to. And when you choose to send explicit messages to someone because they asked for it, then that's you know, obviously there's a lot of problems there, but it also says something about their boundaries and having those discussions that you can actually say no to things. And, you know, and if that person chooses not to be part of your life anymore, that's probably an okay thing. But just, you know, having those healthy boundaries around what is right and wrong, it's a huge conversation to have with your teenager.
Now for the tip, I just want to do this as a quick and easy one. We've talked about secret apps before. I'll link it. It was episode 11, so a long time ago. But those are apps that teenagers can use to hide pictures or videos that they don't want their parents to see. But recently, I don't know if you know about this, Chris, or knew about this, I found out that there is actually a hidden album on iPhones. So it's built into your iPhone. So like in the top right corner, there are the three dots if you click on a photo, and you can click hide. So it'll remove it from all other albums. And then there's a hidden album. If you kind of go into the utility section of the album, you'll see it at the very bottom, and it's called hidden. And you have to use Face ID to open that, but then you can see all of your hidden images. And so it's just another conversation to be having with teens. And just because you see a hidden album does not mean that they have pictures in it. I don't have any pictures in my hidden album, but you can see it and you still have to use your Face ID to get into it because I tested it yesterday. So don't panic if you see that album and think, oh, they definitely have pictures in there. But I just wanted to make you aware that last time we had this conversation, if it was a thing, I didn't know it was a thing. And so that's another thing that we have on our phones. And with that, let's wrap up this conversation. But we want to continue having conversations about how you can connect with your teens, even over really difficult subjects. So make sure you're subscribed to our podcast, follow us on social media. We're going to continue to try out posting our videos on YouTube. So I'll link that as well. And make sure you're sharing us with a friend. If there's someone that you want to have conversation with or you think could use these podcasts, make sure they get our link, and we will see you next week.